Boy, was I wrong. Maybe. It's beginning to appear as if I've made a major blunder in my premise on how to interpret the biocircuit when applying Robert Obecker's circuit to the body. And that's this. When I created the analog computer of Eric Dollard in LMD mode, applied to the body in a biocircuitry fashion, I made a presumption now. I guess I've forgotten what I did back then. I made the presumption recently. See, because it doesn't carry over directly. I mean, it doesn't carry it over at all as an example of how to figure out how to work, how to apply a Robert Obecker's circuits to the body in a biocircuitry fashion. And this is why, because Eric Dollard's analog computer in LMD mode, when applied to the body in a biocircuitry fashion, there is no outside source of power. The body is the source of power, pouring energy into the analog computer, and it's this the power at the other end of the daisy chain that the body receives back again. That's why it's biofeedback. But consequently, there is no... Well, all along in Eric Dollard's analog computer, the determining factor in polarization of the analog computer wiring schematic was determined by the source. The body is both the source and the receiver, and so consequently, I kind of got a little confused of late. So the polarization of the capacitors, and this is the important part, was derived from as an extension from the body. And this determined what the other side of the capacitor, the opposing plate, was going to be. It was going to be the opposite charge. And so consequently, I mapped that, or connected that, I should say, to the opposite polarity of the body. So I never used the rule of opposites. It simply got transferred from the body to the plates of the capacitor. Because a rule of thumb is, a capacitor, the two plates are opposite charges, because they set up a polarization on either side of the dielectric. So the plates are an extension of the body. They don't configure or determine the polarity of the capacitor plate's connection to the body at all. Whereas a battery does, kind of, because it's got its own polarity. Oops. So there's no precedent for transferring the skillfulness of applying a capacitor to a body versus applying a battery. They don't even have any relevance to each other at all. So my presumption that the battery has to be applied to the body as if it's a person is also a presumption on my part. And it's not applicable necessarily. But here's the catch. This all has to do with the problem of lateral voltage mapping of the body, which Leon Ernest Neyman covered. So Eric Dollard's analog computer fits very nicely in there because it doesn't impose its own polarity. It's simply the body provides the polarity that the capacitors will become. But with Robert Obecker's battery-oriented circuit driven by a battery, we got a whole different animal here, because we're meshing two different people who didn't even know about each other. I mean, at least Leon didn't know about Robert. And Robert makes no indication of knowing about Leon. So I'll just assume that that's the case, that neither of them knew of each other. So none of them made an attempt to integrate. And here I am making an integration, and I'm bumbling it. Literally, I think. That's what it looks like. I could be wrong, but it looks like I'm bumbling it. So here's the problem. Robert Obecker's thought merely in terms of vertical lines of force along the body, parallel to the spine. So that when he devised his voltage mapping of the body, he never designated lateral displacement of voltage. He only talked about vertical, parallel to the spine. So he talks about the limbs, being an extension of the torso, as if one limb is no different than another, literally. and the head is just another limb. You know, I mean, he makes very little distinctions. Simply that the limbs and the head are extensions of the torso. I mean, that's it. And that the two ends of the torso, the top end and the bottom end, you know, one end towards the head and the other end towards the tail, are also another distinction, and that's it. And that the base, the base of the limb, where it connects to the torso, including the head, and the extended tip of that limb, including the tip of the head, the top of the head, again, is another pair of polarizations. But that's it. And this is all, relatively speaking, if you follow my line of logic, parallel to the spine because of the lack of differentiation between left and right side. So you can literally fold the left side onto the right side or vice versa, and you end up with the same thing. And that, when you do that as a point of illustration to try to get a handle on what's going on, you'll find that it's pretty much all vertical. There is no horizontal. There's no there's no lateral displacement of voltage or differentiation of voltage, for that matter. So, this is a problem. And I think it's a major oversight on the part of Robert Becker, but that's okay. He's entitled to that. But for me, I'm not. I'm not entitled to that oversight. And because I'm literally bumbling here and making a boo-boo. So, what I think I did wrong in applying or misapplying this presumption on my part is that the battery, and I may have said this in a prior episode, but it's worth repeating now because now I have to change the arrangement of Robert Becker's circuit, the zones of each subsection, or of a few subsections that are pertinent and germane to my having goofed. And so the principle involved here is that the battery, you don't treat it like it's another body, because bodies do not impose themselves on each other. And here's the problem. Egos impose themselves on other egos, but they can only impose themselves on another ego. You can't impose an ego on somebody who doesn't have one. You know, a saint, enlightened person. An ego can only interact with another ego. Now, what is an ego? It's voltage, pressure, just like a battery. But a body doesn't know about egos. All it knows about is voltage mapping and natural being itself. And no superimposition of itself. In fact, what Leon Ernest Demon discovered was that bodies adjust themselves to their circumstances. They're very intelligent devices. They never impose themselves. If something changes in their environment, they change their response. Hence, they are not imposing themselves. An ego won't do that. An ego will blindly impose itself regardless of the circumstance, what it is, and regardless of whether or not the circumstance changed. Okay, maybe, you know, it was, you know, doing the right response yesterday, but today it's the wrong response because of things. It just assumes it's supposed to keep doing the same thing all the time, irregardless of circumstance. And a lot of times an ego can make up, delude itself into thinking what the circumstance is, and then impose an action based on that delusion, project that delusion in the form of action, and then create an overwhelming impression on its environment that now is a little bit of bad karma, or could be a big amount of bad karma. Either way, it's an imposition, and it's the person who that ego was assigned to, even though it may be a future lifespan in which that ego had already died, and a new ego had been born, and say, hey, I don't remember imposing this. Well, you're responsible for it because your soul is responsible for it. That ego died and never paid the price. You get to pay for it now. And, of course, the new ego is built differently with different sets and standards of overwhelming impositions upon its environment, and so it can't understand why it's suffering this privation that's coming from an outside party, some other person who is responsible for the karmic, you know, the overwhelming infringement upon the self. And so why do I have to pay for this shit? Well, because the other ego created it, and that other ego and your ego share the same soul. Which is basically saying, share the same point of view. Really? Except that the prior ego was less evolved than you are, and you get to grow, and that ego failed to. So you get to suffer and grow, and suffer knowing how not to do something, but you better figure out how to do it right, and fix the error the prior ego was ignorant of. So we don't learn by our pain, we learn what not to do by our pain. We still got to figure out what to do so we don't keep suffering over and over again. All these egos, configured differently in each lifespan, can't understand why it's receiving this shit, because it's not really different. It's the same on that point, maybe, but it doesn't... It's got a blind spot, or it's waking up the blind spot, and so it's old news. The pain coming back, which we think we don't deserve, is old story. It's old school. Okay, well, maybe you improved yourself in area A and B of your psychology, but you still have yet to improve yourself in area C and D, and that's where this problem is coming from. So now we have to upgrade areas C and D in the psychology, in the character. So anyway, getting back to the circuit, I'm just making an analogy there, but getting back to the circuit, the problem here is that a battery is like an ego imposing itself upon the body, and that's why I don't want to use Robert Becker's circuitry upon the body at night when I sleep, or even in the daytime when I take a nap, for that matter, because it's sleep is a natural process, even though it's a state of ignorance. It's born of a state of ignorance of the body. You know, we're not enlightened, but regardless, it is a natural state of the body, because sleep alone will take a person to enlightenment. It just might take 2 million years. For the majority of the population on this planet. But it can take a person to enlightenment. You don't have to believe in yoga, understand yoga, or even know if it's anything different than the stuff with the fruit on the bottom. You can just do what you're doing, and you'll be just fine, and you'll reach enlightenment. It'll just take 2 million years, at the most, for most people. Or you can speed things up and pursue yoga. So anyway, boy, it's a little bit of diversion, sorry, but to get to the point. So the battery is like an ego. It's an imposition on the body. And bodies in a cooperative healing circuitry, biocircuitry setup, do not impose on each other. They make adjustments. And they make adjustments based on the other bodies in the circuit. So they don't impose themselves. Only an ego imposes itself. Yet when you get into a biocircuit, you have no command over your body's actions while in the circuit. The body is in charge, and the body will never impose itself, because it uses areas of the mind which have nothing to do with the conscious mind, and the proclivity with which we use our conscious mind in an egotistical fashion. In other words, we dominate our conscious mind with our ego. But there is that other area of the nervous system, I think it's called the parasympathetic or the sympathetic nervous system, I don't know, it's one aspect of the nervous system that we have no control over. Like our heartbeat, for instance, you know, most people. While breathing, when we fall asleep, we lose conscious control and our unconscious aspect takes over. But when we're awake, and even in a nightmare, for that matter, we can control our breath and override the automatic system that controls breathing. Well, in this circuitry, the same situation is arising, because a battery is doing what the ego can do. It can override the automatic processes of the body and mess it up. You know? If I don't wire things right. So far with Robert Becker's scheme, I've been doing okay. But there are two areas, or one area, excuse me. There's one area involving two circuits that I blew it, and that's the arms. Actually, I only blew one arm. But it's different depending on whether you're a lefty or a right-handed person, or for that matter, whether or not you're suffering from PTSD. Then it's both arms. But if you're right-handed or left-handed, it's only one arm. I didn't blow it on the legs because I'm creating a triangle circuit. in which the two legs are joined together, as if they, as if there's no difference between them, as if they're just one leg coming out of your crotch, or out of your hips, if you prefer. Which is no different than what Leon Ernest Eamon did. He crossed people's legs at the ankles. Be that as it may, when I get to that area and move things around, I'm going to have to do what I'm about to describe to you, and not what I said in a previous episode. I cannot follow the rule of opposites in order to create relaxation-oriented biocircuitry. It doesn't work with batteries, because batteries are egos. They are not natural systems, you know, like two or more people hooked up in a biocircuit in cooperative fashion. They're egos, and so how do we define an ego then in terms of a biocircuit? We call it tension. It's the rule of similars. What happens with egos? When you get two egos together and they recognize the point in which they can argue, what do? They take the same side. You see, people who complement each other don't take the same side. They take opposite sides and they complement each other. That's why they don't argue. They don't try to do each other's job for each other. They do their own job. They find their niche that nobody else is occupying. They settle into it and they do their job. And if nobody crosses over the line into everybody else's job, everybody is just happy as a clam. But when people start to stick their nose into other people's business and do their job for them, that's when the shit happens. Because they're taking the same side. And so it's egos are the rule of similars. They are not the rule of opposites. But I didn't figure the ego into this matter because I didn't think the battery was an ego. I thought it was a body. But a body in a biocircuit is not an ego. It's anything but an ego. It's that area of the nervous system that will never do anything to harm anybody because it always takes the opposite position, opposite to whatever else anybody else is taking in connection with them, in order to create polarity, in order to create a flow of energy. If it took the same side, there'd be no flow, and there'd be tension. Bodies don't want to create tension. It's not their natural nature. Only a person in a state of PTSD will do that. Or only a person who wants to create PTSD for themselves, namely an imposition of his or her ego, will take the position of similars. But a natural nervous system will always take the position of opposites to allow and encourage flow of energy, which is analogous to complementation, analogous to harmony, analogous to no argumentation, no war, no disputation, no contention, no fighting. Boy, I can be really dumb sometimes. But this is an important point. The distinction between what Robert O. Becker is doing with a battery and what Leon Ernest Eamon did with bodies, it's completely different. And so consequently, the rule of opposites versus the rule of similars has their place in trying to figure out what to do here. It's not all the same. It's not one big whitewash. We're all doing the same thing, and we're all in this together. Yeah, we're in this together, but we're not doing the same thing. Ay, ay, ay. Unless we develop an ego, and then we will fake. We will delude ourselves into assuming that we're all doing the same thing in order to impose our ego and in order to find a war to fight. A war that never existed in the first place. Does that sound familiar? Oh, brother. So we'll use the rule of similars. And that's what batteries have to do. You have to use the mapping that Robert O. Becker or Leon Ernest Eamon provides, the voltage mapping of the body, but you have to use the rule of similars to connect a battery to the body. Now, that does not apply to Robert O. Becker, though. It only applies to Leon Ernest Eamon for some uncanny reason. I don't know why. Because Robert O. Becker treated the body as if it's, again, there's no lateral differentiation between one side and the other. It's just, You fold the left side onto the right side, or the right side onto the left side, and then it looks like you've stretched, you know, the body grabbing hold of an ankle and a wrist, in a sense, because now the arm is parallel with the head. So it's like this one long spaghetti noodle, and you just keep stretching, or a broken piece of rubber band, you keep stretching it, and then you can pinpoint where your different voltage gradients are. But it's a one-dimensional mapping. That's what I'm trying to get to. While Leon Ernest Eamon made a two-dimensional mapping, Robert O. Becker made a one-dimensional mapping. It's just a line segment. And he just folded one half over to the other and said, okay, it's no different, you know, left side, right side, they're all the same. So that's a big difference. And that might be why Robert O. Becker was clueless about the distinction I'm making between their two systems. So neither one really grew into the other, because Leon tried to stay natural, and Robert wanted to work with the body, but it's still unnatural because he's using a battery. Okay? Because I suspect, now that I've studied Robert O. Becker, that Leon Ernest Eamon was actually healing the body. But since nobody's done the scientific controlled study to determine whether or not that's true, I don't know that. But that's the way it looks. And so it's quite possible that you don't need to use a battery. I mean, look at this. It's ridiculous. I'm using a 100 megaohm resistor to bring the amperage down to less than 100 nanoamps. How much, I don't know. It's something my multimeter cannot measure. But it's so low, it makes you wonder. It's kind of ridiculous. Why go to all this trouble? Why not just use Leon Ernest Eamon's protocol? Because I don't know whether or not it regenerates the body. And so I'm assuming I got to go with Robert O. Becker, because at least I know his works. But the bliss that I experienced a year ago using Eric Dollard's analog computer applied to the body in a biocircuitry fashion was more intense than what I'm getting out of Robert O. Becker. And it was safer, too. Provided I did not connect the any capacitor across the heart, laterally, or across the brain. A distinction Robert O. Becker never makes. Lateral distinctions. So, Robert O. Becker never designed his protocol to be applied to the entire body. And so he never got the big picture. Okay? He never got that far. And I'm making this mistake of trying to apply his protocol to the body, and you know what? Ultimately, it may not work. In the sense that, ultimately, it may strain the body and may only be good for short-term durational application, and also for self-education on the part of the researcher, namely me, or anybody else who works independently of each other, you know, in a state of ignorance about anybody else, or in a state of ignorance of what I'm doing, let's put it that way, in which I have to learn the hard way, the wrong way, but use Robert O. Becker as a way to better understand Leon Ernest Eamon, and ultimately end up doing things the Leon way instead of the Robert way. But still use electrical components, electronic components, to augment the situation, to get more power, more effectiveness, you know, like Eric Dollard's analog computer, you know. Anything, something to augment the situation. Anyway, I don't know yet, but I'll presuppose maybe that that's where it's headed. Okay? So, where all this is coming from is that I had a nap and I woke up and my left arm doesn't feel too good. And I won't tell you the other extenuating circumstances. Well, let's put it this way. I strained myself this morning. Physically strained myself. And last night. Twice in a row. And then I took a nap, and now my left arm is like partially tingling, so maybe I slept on it. But maybe it's also weak because I'm applying Robert O. Becker's circuitry in the wrong way. And if I analyze the situation, the only thing I think I did wrong was the left arm circuit, in which I applied a positive charge to the left, to the hand, and a negative charge to my ear. Now, normally you would think, oh, but that's correct, right? It's the right hand that's wrong, if anything, according to the rule of opposites. But what if the battery does not follow the rule of opposites? What if it's like an ego imposing itself, and it should actually be following the rule of similars? That would mean that my left, in order to wake up my arm, because my left arm feels like it's fallen asleep, you know? So if I need, how do I fix that? Well, I would get into Robert Obecker's circuit, and I would invert the two zones of the left hand circuit, the subsection of the body involving the left hand and the left ear, such that I would use the rule of similars, not the rule of opposites. I would put the negative lead on the left hand and the positive lead on the left ear, which is the same polarity as the hand and the ear as it is. The left hand for a right-handed person is negative, and the left ear of a right-handed person is positive. So why would I do that if it weren't for the fact that batteries cannot use a body, Leon Ernest Eamon's sense of the body, as an analogy, as a similitude to to a battery. If it were not for the fact that Robert Obecker and Leon Ernest Eamon swam in different circles and created two different universes, even though they look similar, that does not mean they're the same. And this is where they separate, is Robert Obecker's use of a battery. If it wasn't for that, he'd be in the same ballpark and probably doing things that look exactly the same as the way that Leon Ernest Eamon did them. It's just that Robert Obecker did the hundreds of controlled experiments to verify his results, while Leon Ernest Eamon simply has, what's it called? It's not controlled experiments. It's, it's a different type of learning, scientific learning. What is that term? I can't reach for that word. Oh, darn it. Testimonials come out of it. I can't think of the word. I think it starts with an E, but I'm not sure. No. Or does it start with a T? Well, I'll have to add it later. It's basically based on experience, but it's not controlled experience. It's simply based on experience alone, from which testimonials arise. So since you don't have a controlled element, you can't control for error. All you can work with is observation. Empirical, that's it. It uses empirical observation and not controlled experiments. An empirical observation is a subset of controlled experiments, but controlled experiments takes it one step further and assumes the opposite may be possibly true and tests for it to try to exclude it from the observation to ensure that we get a very, very finely detailed, focused definition of what's going on here. Rather than have a loosey-goose analysis, a fuzzy, you know, logic or a fuzzy perception analysis, and possibly get our analysis wrong. So, I may have to invert my left-hand, left-ear circuit in order to wake up my left hand, and if that's the case, then my definition of the battery being similar to an ego and not the same as a body will hold valid. And that means when I make a modification to my leg circuit by which I split it into two separate circuits, ideally, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to set up one circuit between my penis and my anus, and my penis will still be negative and my anus will be positive because now all internal areas of the body are going to be positive in order to drive silver into them. The very thing we are afraid to do, create argyria, is the very thing I'm going to do. And so the forehead and mouth circuit, I will form a positive, I will connect, excuse me, the Robert Obecker's positive lead to the mouth, inside the mouth, or outside, but, you know, anyway, and then the negative lead goes to the forehead. So I'm purposefully going to insert positive electrodes of silver into the body. And the legs will simply be, you know, left to right. But which is it? In a prior episode, I just assumed it should be the rule of opposites, but now I see I'm probably going to get that wrong unless I use the rule of similars, since I'm using a battery-driven circuit across them. That means I'm going to have, since I'm right-handed, and that means my right foot is positive, according to Leon Ernest Eamon, and my left foot is negative, that means I'm going to have to take the positive lead of Robert Obecker's circuit coming from the positive terminal of the battery and connect that to my right leg, and take the negative lead from that circuit and connect it to my left leg. My left leg being negative and my right foot being positive. So that'll be another area of mistake before I make it. In other words, I might know better not to make that mistake. But the arm, apparently I've already made that mistake, and so I'm going to have to fix the circuit and make that change for my left arm, even if I do nothing else today. And I really haven't had the time to do anything else, so I'm still going to have to adhere to my use of the forehead as my grounding point. Unless, you know, I want to replace the commodity disc with a piece of silver wire, then I can put it in my mouth. But it'll still be merely the grounding point of the body. So it'll be the open circuit of the earthing enhancement circuit, connecting to the body in the area of the face, either at the forehead or at the mouth. But I can do one other change besides, you know, changing that electrode if I want to use it in the mouth rather than on the forehead. I can, invert the left arm, left ear, subsection of the body, Robert Obecker circuit, and invert the two zones, the polarity zones. So I'm using subsection having to do with the whole Robert Obecker circuit, but the zone is the division of that subsection into two zones, one being positive, the other negative, and then hooking up the circuit to those two zones, anywhere within those two zones, each lead going into each zone. So that's why I started using the word zone to take care of polarity issues, while subsections have to do with subdividing the body such that a Robert Obecker circuit, one circuit goes into each subsection of the body. So that's what it looks like I'm going to have to do now, and it's a good thing I took a nap rather than get into the Robert Obecker circuit, and I woke up with a slightly different awareness of what's going on in my body. It's quite possibly I'm doing that one mistake, that one oversight. So you see, because we have egos, A, we misjudge life, and B, scientists cannot afford to have egos. And bear in mind, egos have more to do with, I mean, have not merely to do with anger, you know, or blindness. Well, blindness, yes, but fear is probably more accurate description of how an ego operates rather than anger. It's ignorance and blindness anyway, in both cases, you know, irregardless of the emotion involved. But fear is probably more likely the emotion involved rather than anger. Anger is a result of somebody else's ego cutting you off. Somebody else's blindness, somebody else's lack of vision, somebody else's lack of connectivity to you before they meet you, even though they don't know you. You know, unity, the state of unity, connects everything in the universe regardless of whether or not we are aware of each other. Unity is aware of everybody and connects everyone in one cosmic integration. But we, as creatures who are non-enlightened, run around oblivious to that unity, and so we bump into each other and create pain. Even though we don't try to, even though we're not initially angry, we're just blind. And so everything comes out of ignorance. But if we're driven by any emotion, if we're talking about emotions, it's probably most likely going to be fear rather than anger. Because even anger is driven by fear at its basis. We just cover it with anger so as to hide the fact, not take responsibility for our fears by presuming to be angry. You know, that's normally how we define an ego, by way of presumption. But fear is a presumption too. And, but regardless, both are predicated on the presumption on ignorance or blindness as their mutually shared presumption, regardless of which emotion is obvious. I don't know where I was going with that, why I brought that up. There was a point. I'm sorry. I got so caught up in my delineation that I lost the point of what I was trying to make. Well, at any rate, I'll make that change, those two changes, and I'll do my next session and see if it's, you know, I almost don't have to expect to look for improvements. All I have to do is look to see whether or not I make anything worse than they already are. Because sometimes making matters worse is so subtle we don't notice it. And it takes a long time for that to build up to the point where we finally notice it. But when we make the change that we think will fix the problem, if it actually does fix it, what'll happen is we may not notice something right away, except the alleviation of the pain. So my arm should become alleviated of its feeling that it's like I've slept on it, you know. But later on, what should happen is that I should get bliss greater than what I had before. And see, in the past, when I did Eric Dollard's analog computer applied to the body in a biocircuitry fashion, it, since it never imposed itself, it was part of the unity of the overall scheme of things. It never created problems, provided I never made the mistake of hooking a capacitor laterally across the heart or across the brain. I could do it across the legs, and I wouldn't mind. I wouldn't notice it. So that kind of tells me that the legs may be open to any kind of polarity. I don't know what's going to happen with the legs. I haven't gotten there yet. But anything above the crotch, it does seem to matter, lateral displacement, how we hook things up. So, at any rate, the analog computer never imposed itself, so it kind of just melted in to the situation. But batteries don't do that. They impose themselves, and so we have to be even more careful on how we use batteries with regard to the body. And that's something that it apparently was so subtle, I just never noticed it up until now. Probably because the left arm was working in conjunction with the right arm as if there's no sidedness to the body. Left side and right side is no different. And in a sense, that's true. But in a sense, it's not true. It depends on how fuzzy you want to be or how precise you want to be. And over time, precision becomes more and more important. Initially, it's not. And Robert Becker just treated somebody one time, and that was it. You know, he treated the wound or the amputation or whatever, you know, near amputation or amputation, and that was it. He didn't treat you again and again. He used a different lab rat. He didn't subject you to over and over again. He wasn't, a tyrant trying to torture you. But so when I get into the circuit, I'm literally tormenting myself if I'm doing anything wrong, but I don't notice it, but over time I will. And so that's what I think has happened here, is I finally noticed that I may have made an error in my judgment, and that's why I'm assuming I'm correcting it. And so now I'm going to see whether or not my correction is correct. My adjustment, whether or not my adjustment is correct or not. So we'll see. Until then, I'll let you know later on.